Hello, and welcome to We Speak CVE, a free podcast from the CVE program. On this podcast, we'll talk with people from the cybersecurity community about what else? Cybersecurity and vulnerability management and the CVE catalog of vulnerabilities. If you didn't know, the CVE program's mission is to identify, define, and catalog publicly disclosed cybersecurity vulnerabilities.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the CVE podcast. I'll be your host today. I'm Shannon Savins, Director of Threat Response at CrowdStrike and a member of the CVE board and the co-chair of the Outreach Working Group. Today, I have a really special guest. This is someone who's also been involved with the CVE program, also a member of the CVE board, but somebody I haven't spent a lot of time with and who has a really different expertise than my own. I'm going to let him introduce himself. Take it away, Chandan.
Thank you, Shannon. I'm Chandan Nandakumaraya. I'm the Director of Product Security at Palo Alto Networks. And as you said, I co-chair the Quality Working Group with David Baltimore. In the Quality Working Group, we are focusing on ways to make the CVE submissions provide better quality of CVE information to through the CVE submission process. And we are also working on the CVE record format, where people can update CVE records and provide information about CVE assignments with high quality of information that could be embedded in them.
I want to know more about, I spend a lot of time thinking about how to get people involved in the program, but mm-hmm. I don't spend that much time thinking about the CVE records themselves, the history, the format options available, the new formatting that you have available. Tell me a bit more about that, if you would, please. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, think about the universe of technology products, where all the cybersecurity technologies are make up this universe. Vulnerabilities in this universe are like minefields or potholes or quicksands. And what researchers or vendors do is they assign CVE IDs, which are more like warning flags that are attached next to those minefields. And they say, be aware of these things. Avoid them, don't fall into vulnerabilities, don't risk your lives, and so on, right? That's what those vulnerabilities are. And CVE IDs are essentially has two parts to it. So there is one part, which is just the ID, which is the number, the format, CVE-year-number. But that itself doesn't make a lot of sense unless you include some information about where that flag was planted. Where exactly is the pothole? Where exactly right. is the minefield, right? And so that's where the record format comes into picture. For a long time, the CVE record, when somebody said CVE record, it meant two things. It's just the ID and some description that went with the ID, which was just free text, plain text description. And maybe some metadata about who issued the ID, when the ID was issued, or when the ID was reserved. And that itself was a record in a database, and that formed the CVE list. So that's how it had been since the beginning. But then as the plain text description of a CVE by itself is not very automatable or automation friendly, because people are trying to maybe filter out CVEs that they don't care about, or they want to narrow down on CVEs that they want to focus on. They may be defenders or the security teams who want to, who may be interested in the CVEs that belong to a certain product or a vendor. And so that's where we have been looking into ways of making that CVE description more automation friendly. And we have we developed a JSON format for expressing the location of a vulnerability in a structured format, which is more automation friendly or user friendly. This lets us do many more things. Adds us more capabilities in how CVE information can be consumed. We can have descriptions in multiple languages. We can have descriptions provided by two or three different sources, like things that could be provided by vendors, but also other vendors who may have to say something about the CVE. And so we have expanded the number of possibilities that you can have with the CVE record, or with a new format that's expressed in JSON.
So tell me, that sounds great, and that sounds highly scalable. So that's exciting to me. But tell me, what else is in it for vendors, for CNAs, for researchers?
So initially we had this very limited set of fields in a CVE record, and mm-hmm. we expanded on it. Because it's JSON, it's there are multiple different ways you can express information or data structures encoded in a JSON. We have many, many fields that are available. And again, to keep in mind, these are all optional. So if a CNA is submitting a CVE assignment information in a JSON record, there are a few fields that are required, but there is a lot more optional information that they can put in as well that will essentially help them locate a record precisely where the vulnerability is. So things like this would be useful to say if you are a vendor who is using a particular library, you can say we have fields that indicate the library name, the library versions, and so on. But also, if the library is being distributed within like a package ecosystem that exists, we have ways to capture details about that package or the package repositories and the ecosystems and so on. We have ways to capture the exact number of exact versions that were affected. So if somebody is doing vulnerability analysis and wants to know whether a piece of library that they are using is affected, they can do it more or less automated, comparing the versions they have versus the versions that have been recorded in the CVE record. So that's one way that vendors are people who use software technology in either for their production or in their products can make use of the CVE information to do the vulnerability assessment. We have also fields, for example, fields that capture who found the CVE. So if a researcher found a vulnerability, we now have a field to capture that information as well. As long as the researcher is willing to share their name in the CVE record, we can now say this researcher found the CVE and then have it part of the record that goes in like a permanent recognition for that the work That's that great. Was done done in finding finding and assigning the CVE. So I covered kind of what's it in for vendors, what's it there for the researchers. The information, we also have ways to capture, to translate the CVE information in different languages. And so if you have security personnel who are not very good in English, we have ways that the CVE record could be translated in other languages, not just in English, but they can get the information about the CVE in language that they are most native, the language that they can understand better. And we have work ongoing with JP Cert with INCIBE, who translate some of the CVE descriptions into Spanish or Japanese and things like that.
Okay, so that's exciting to hear other CNAs and other routes bringing things into new languages. So I actually heard four great things from you. I heard credit for researchers. I heard CVE IDs easier to get, easier to update, and easier to localize. So that's exciting. From a vendor perspective, if I was a new vendor, or if I a new vendor to the CVE program, or if I was an existing CNA, tell me a little bit about what that automation might look like for me, how I could more easily produce the records.
Yeah, exactly. So the format we are developing is like can be taken as a template that people can fill in. So when they're done with assigning a CVE and they've published it, they can fill up the template and then have the CVE published. But the whole process also involves a lot of new services that have been developed by the CVE Automation Working Group. There is a service that's currently online that can help people get the ID instantaneously, 24/7. As long as you have credentials, you can get an ID on demand. And once you get the ID on demand, and then you have associated that ID with a vulnerability, and then once you are ready to go public as a CNA, that you know this CVE ID has been associated with this vulnerability, you can capture information about the vulnerability, encode it in the JSON format, and then there is a new set of services that are under development that will be released available soon, will help you update the CVE database 24/7 on demand. And so you got the ID, you can get the IDs on demand. And now with the new services that are being offered from the CVE Automation Working Group, you can change the status of CVEs from being reserved to being public, and then update the content and information. I think one of the major advantage is that you can do it as many times as you want. So if you think that something, maybe you forgot to add something, maybe you forgot to mention a version that was affected, you can now go change the description, change the versions, and publish it. If you want to add more links to the CVE record, you can do it. And it's not just the CNA that can do it, the CNA who's responsible for the CVE ID. We also have a concept of authorized data publishers. So if you are an authorized data publisher, you've been trusted and authorized to append data, add more data or complement data to the CVE record, you also get what's called a container, structure that you can append to the CVE record. Think of it more like, let's say the CNA who the ID was issued gets the front page of a report, but an ADP can attach other additional pages to that report, and they can write their opinion or their links and their scores that they can associate with the CVE. But it's all contained on the letterhead of the authorized data publisher, but the front page of the CVE belongs to the CNA who published the CVE. So we have this concept where of capturing multiple perspectives on a CVE. And so in the past, we had the CNAs could provide a CVS score, but an independent analyst could also come up with a different CVS score. And we have a way to capture that as well in the CVE record. And those things can coexist in the same record. And the consumers can see the differences, and then maybe they can also read the reasoning why some of those things are different, and so on. So we have various ways to capture the information that is tied to a CVE, and then hopefully this is useful to consumers. People are getting them, and they're processing to keep their products and assets secure. And all this workflow is enabled with the automation that's been developed with the automation working group. So we can, you know, people can get them, update the CVE really easily on their own.
That's excellent. I hear that records can be updated as many times as needed, corrected as needed, and that there's an opportunity for community contribution, and where there are more or less conservative takes on CVSS, that can more easily be accounted for. So I think that's going to excite a lot of people in the community. I think that's great. In terms of organizations making use of the information in the record, it just sounds like there's a lot more information to be had potentially. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, we have made room for a lot more information that could be associated with the CVE. Again, these are all optional. If you are a new CNA who doesn't do CVSS scores, that you are, you know, not scoring your vulnerabilities and so on, you can still go ahead and publish them without this additional information. But a CNA who's been established for a while knows how to do scoring, knows what CWEs are, or knows how things like, or can provide multiple language translations of the description, they can put all that thing in the CV record. There is room for all those kind of information, and it's all organized in a structured way.
So we've made it easier for CNAs without increasing the demands on them. The demand on them, the requirements are the same, but the flexibility is greater. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more, even though if you try to look at the JSON format, it may look a little complicated, but at the minimum, the least that you can do is quite simple. But if you're willing to put more information to help the consumers of your CVE assignment, you got plenty of room to put your information there.
Love it. Love it. Tell me a little bit about how one might get involved. There's an automation working group. You're part of the quality working group. Tell me a little bit about that. If I were a CNA or interested in becoming a CNA and I wanted to participate or contribute.
So we have, so the CVE record format development is being done at the quality working group. We meet once in every 2 weeks on Tuesdays or Thursdays afternoon. You can reach out to either of the chairs to get on to the quality working group. Or if you are a CNA, contact Jo and she will get you signed up on the quality working group.
And again, your co-chair is Dave Waltermeyer at NIST.
Yes.
That's correct. And the Joe is Joe Bazar at MITRE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's excellent. And you have a GitHub site, that's right?
Yeah, we have a GitHub site where the format is being actively developed. We have a schema, JSON schema, that defines what a JSON record would look like. That's being available, developed there as well. So this is, if you Google search for GitHub CVE schema under CVE project, you should be able to get to the schema site. And if you find, you know, feedback or if you have tips for improvement, you can file issues there. We review them in the quality working group and then take this feedback, see how we can improve the format. You're also welcome to submit pull requests, which are, you can work on the changes and then submit them. And then we will review them in the quality working group and improve the structure. As we are working towards releasing more of the automation working group services, the service that lets the CNAs upload and update the records will be based on the CVE JSON schema 5.0. We've reached set some milestones there. We're calling it Release Candidate 2. And once the automation record updates service goes live, we will essentially call that the CVE JSON version format 5. And we'll still continue developing it. So we'll continue working on JSON format version 5.1. And once that's final, we'll then, you know, we go through this release cycle of continuously improving the record format to meet the needs of CVEs, CNAs, or the consumers who use the CVE record information.
Well, I love this. I love the flexibility, the ease, but also the potential sophistication of it. It's just really excellent work.
Yeah, I can also talk a bit about how a CNA can actually generate these, record format. So if you're an established CNA who has some system to manage your vulnerability reports, or you know the things that researchers report to you and the things you publish them and so on, it may be trivial to kind of generate a JSON record of your CVE assignment from that system itself. But if you are a CNA who doesn't have such a system, there are tools available that you can, you know, either fill in the minimum required information and then it will create the JSON record. There's also a GUI tool that's available that I wrote. It's called Vulnogram. You can go to vulnogram.github.io. Vulnogram spelled for vuln for vulnerabilities, O and gram for gram as the Greek suffix that says, you know, a written record of something. And the tool will help you fill the fields that are required, and it will show you all the other optional fields that are available. It has an embedded CVSS calculator too, and it will help you see how the JSON record will look like. You can also edit the JSON yourselves manually, but it's not recommended. And once you filled all the information that's required for a CVE record, you can save the JSON. But once we get the service for uploading the CVE record live, we should be able to push to the REST API interface directly using the GUI tool. So you essentially, you will have a GUI tool to create, update, and submit your CV records.
I've heard a lot of great feedback about your Vulnogram tool. People were excited about it and seemed to like the tool. So
thank you, Shannon. Yes, we use the tool to also automate some of, like, we take the information that's from our defect tracking tool and then kind of pre-populate some of the fields, like the products and versions and so on, and then maybe do a few more edits to the CVE description ourselves, and then we are ready to publish the CVE in a few quick and simple steps.
Really nice. Really nice. Is there anything else we should tell the people about contributing as a CNA or making use of these records?
Yeah, again, this will be forthcoming with the update, CVE record update submission service. So take a look at the format. If you have any feedback, we love to hear it. We want to incorporate it before we kind of finalize it for the record update service. But yeah, please feel free to look up the CVE record format. We have a mind map that is generated that tells you the relationship between various fields and how those fields are organized in the record format. Feel free to take a look. We also have some documentation that's auto-generated based on the CVE schema. Go through it. And again, we would love to hear more about the format and how we can help the CNAs and also the consumers who take the CVE information and do great things with it.
Chandan, it was really nice to have you on the program, and we really appreciate everything that you're doing for the CVE program.
Thank you, Shannon. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you for joining us today on the We Speak CVE podcast, which is available for free on Buzzsprout and the CVE website. If you'd like to participate or suggest a topic, please contact us on the CVE website.